Okay.
We have, today we have to try to tie up all the loose ends. Kind of hakdama summary. What's important to remember is that Geirus is a legalistic process. It's a strict protocol. Besides all the emotion, theology, chauvinism that comes into the discussions. So the Marshal, I'm not going to bother going to it. Chaim Oizer has the Shaila, a goy that was mutilated. We had that Shaila too in America. Someone who stepped on a landmine. And therefore, that shayach to make me learn it. And he wants, you see, the chol above, he wants to become Jewish. And it was clear, in the case we had, or the case of Chaim Oizer, but the case we had, it was clear that this fellow really worked at it. He grew up in a Methodist home and saw the sheker, hinchel avoseinu, and really, nothing you can do for him. There's no way he can become Jewish. Period. You have to have milah. It's not like an isha. So nichas agid, he didn't want to allow for it. So there's a legalism in it there. Yeah. Not everybody holds that way. Fakert, if he has an ola, and you can't make mila, you know, such a case, but again, it would have been Meshu Echav Machas Mila, he has Humafig, etc. There, no one is master that he should be able to have a Gaelus. Because Allah is the antithesis of Gaelus. Therefore, that's the sheet that it holds, right? Toval Kodim Shemol, the also Lo Tvila, doesn't work. Why? You cannot have tefillah which is supposed to introduce some aspect of Kedusha Shishoel, a stepwise aspect, when Allah is misnagid, Allah rejects them. These are legalisms that's what called to your attention. Not so much la'aloche, but more conceptual.
Very good. Two. So if the non-Jew has an orla,
sorry?
If the non-Jew can't have a mila, but he has an orla, so then no one will allow the gifts.
No.
But if it's nivras agid, so Reb Chaim Oizer was not there.
That's what I heard.
Is that against the Shulchan Aruch?
I didn't see it. I didn't see it. I said la'halacha. This is what they say over in his name. Yeah, that he wouldn't allow it. Yeah. That's part of a concept of there's a protocol, a ritual that has to be performed. This legalism aspect is what I want to introduce this inyan here. If you just look at the Igros Moshe on page 14, and then we'll go back to the Yerodeya for a second. You may have it on a page before or after. That's the
what's in it, Rabbi?
That's the tshuva. Igros Moshe, the tshuva is Kuf Chof Zayin. Bein Tfilas Geilu Shabezin Hoye Becheder Acher.
Yeah, it's 14.
Huh?
14.
Yeah, well, I guess it's right. Yeah. Okay. This is a person I met a number of times. It's Rav Gosnas from the Bezin of London. Very, very choshev posek in England, who speaks with a British accent. Yeah. Why, I don't know, but he doesn't. Yeah. Anyway, The shaila was im nechshav amidas abesin becheder asomach lamikve b'shas tefila geres. But he considered that ki'ilu roes hatefila. Okay, read a little bit further yourself. So pick up on the second column, the second paragraph. Shebelo tzorch gerus vaday also v'stakal b'isha v'chetzes v'tabelas af shomedes ad savor abamayim. אלא צורך לומר שהריר בשעס התפילה הוא עיכוב בחשיבוס הווייס הבזן שם. שכן לא מבוא אל הסוב שבלו בזן בשעס תפילה מעקי וגרוס, אלא אף הסוב ביבן אין עיכוב וגרוס, כי אם שם בזן הכל פוחוס הוא עיכוב לגרוס עודף לרבון לעצר בזן גם בתפילה שם עיכוב. I'm sorry, a bit wrong. Hasse Wesse Gambit Vila, Shime Iker, Hageus Kabolus Mitzus, Klesh Yakil Gamba Kabolus Mitzus, Shim Lo Besden. Schwer actually passed Gerus on that basis. Rav Kostas was told that he should be called back a whole bunch of gerim and make tefillah properly, because that without tefillah we're bezin mamish. Now, as we know from the Gemara, that tefillah can be done also shelo bebezin. Right? Look at the Gemara in Yevamos Mem Zayin, page Dalet. Here, I want to call your attention first. As Yivam Mustaf Mem Zayin, look at how the Gemara describes the Maisa Gelus. Shnei Talmid, you have it 4 or 5 lines from the top. Mem Zayin Amid Beis. Shnei Talmid Chachamim Omdim Al Gabov, Umidin also Mixas Talmid Chorus, etc. And then again, Ushnei Tamina Kham Omnilo Bebachutz, Madin also mix us Mitzvah Kalas Mitzvah Chavos, right? So there are two things over here. First, it says, you have Omnilo Bebachutz. Second, the emphasis twice, Shnei Tamina Chachamim. So the second question comes, can you make Gagos without Tamina Chachamim? Oh, so here too, the Loshon Tamid Chachamim in Sichin Tamid Chachamim Anat. Let's see if I can find it again quickly. I think that's 7, 8, I think. Okay. On page 7, with Barabes and the Gerus and Sor Shi Kulum Tamida Chachamim. We have it Simon Kufn and Tess in the Eagles. The Loshon Gemara is clearly Shnei Tamida Chachamim. I'm sorry, before that, look at the Yoredeya. What does the Yoredeya say? Bechava doesn't mention Shnei Tamida Chachamim. But the Ramah does. It seemed to be a machlokes of the Mechaber and the Ramah. Okay, let me take a look. You see, Reish Samaches Beis.
Page 2.
V'yachar kach medvin lo su tefila hogenes v'lo chatzitza. Right? Ushlosha om de magabov, and the Ramah tells in Shlosha Tamidei Chachamim om de magabov. And here it says clearly from the Gemara, they weren't necessary. These were people who were teachers in the local Beis Yaakov, giving instruction. They don't belong inside the mikveh. All you had to hear is their voice. What about in the mikveh? See, so here clearly, what happens there? The yosheves b'mayim b'yachakach tovelas b'fneihem. They magzirim pneim v'yotzim l'shiyur also kishetalim in amayim. They shouldn't see her coming out of the water, but when she's in the water, they have to see her. That's how he passes. That's halacha l'maaseh. Totally in practice, there's no problem any more breaking tznius than the fact that you're seeing a woman while she's bathing, but you're not seeing the woman. You're seeing the woman while she's engaged in an activity which you see, but you don't see the woman engaged in the activity. By that I mean, if the lights in the mikveh are dimmed and the rabbonim are standing at the doorway in a lighted, as most mikvahs have, usually the bathroom opens up a door to the mikveh, right? They can clearly see the woman going underwater without being able to discern any anatomical features, since she's standing in water up to her neck before they see her. Just as a dunk ahead underneath, and it's enough to dunk once. Nowadays, ladies dunk filastida. They dunk twice, or three, or maybe 17, or 13, depending on which chassidish kreis is in charge of the mikveh. Right. There are no such halachas. The only halacha is they should come up as often as they go down. That's all. Okay.
Is that now the general practice? Is it that she goes in with a robe or something, or is it?
We do that for tefillas nida. We do it for tefillas geiros. I don't know. It could be done. There's nothing wrong. The halacha tefillah is the same as tefillas nida. If it's not a chatzitza for a nida, it's not a chatzitza for a rida. But usually, it doesn't seem to be a need for that. For tefillas nida, we have it. Unfortunately, we have it quite often. Women who had mastectomies are embarrassed to be undressed even for another woman. Can't argue with a woman who had to go through that kind of trauma. So they're more comfortable if they have a sheet over them, and they allow them to go in with the sheet. Just make them stay in the water for a few minutes before before they go under. Make sure that the sheet is fully saturated, so it's not a chatzitza, and then they can dump themselves. That's unfortunately, it was manazeh standard practice in many mikvahs because of the frequency of having that shayla thrown at you. So incidence of breast cancer is so high among women today that you bump into that shayla all the time. Okay. Here, if you want a nice chidush, one other thing here. I put together all that's missing.
Where's the psak on that about Talmidei Chachamim?
I'm sorry?
About Talmidei Chachamim.
Okay. Where's the one on Talmidei Chachamim? This one. Go back to what I just called before. The Dvar HaBezdin on page 7. Right. Okay, which is the key point. Very, very difficult. Therefore, it says, I'm sorry, take it better, be more efficient, take the page 8, the continuation of the tshuva. And the second paragraph on the page. Okay. Rak shetzorach layin ma sheramo hosif aloshon machaber. You have it? Shenokat karambam ושלושה עומדים שיתמיד החומר משמע לחור שפוליג ומצע יתמיד החומר דווקא, אבל לא יהיה אפשר לומר כלל שיסר תמיד החומר דווקא. וואי? דווי, this is by Shvel's classic, likes the Paskan Ashayla using as a source the Gemara or Tosfos, and not the Sam Sofer, without having recourse to the Achronim. Go back, says, look at the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? That it says, Shebi mei dobro shlomo lo kiblu geirim. Umikom mokom nizgai rohar be geirim. Right? So who did it then? So Talmud Chochem wouldn't go against the wishes of Sanhedrin. They shouldn't be mekabel geirim in the time of David. So who did it? Must be Amaratzin did it. Must be non-tamid chachomim. Yet that's called the Besen Shal Adyotos and of the Kosher Geirus. From there you see Beferish from the Gemara that you don't need Tamid Chachamim. Here the Raya. Okay, so look at it again. The Mefurish B'Yibom HaZavayit is Mucha Lomar Shal Adyotos Geirum. Right? The Tamid Chachamim Vada Lo Yos and Shal Kohogen. Therefore you know what it's a... Similar raya, Ashraya brings, although I don't mean to want to, I'm not sure, maybe at the end I'll go back to it, to the text, but on adoption, an issue was raised. Actually, someone delivered the speech at an Ohel dinner a few years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, or less. No, it was, I know exactly when it was. 2 years, my Shreel's Petire. It was Tavshin Mem Bo, it was, would have been Tavshin Mem Dalet. And came to the conclusion, some reason decided to, of all places, Ohel, as you know, is heavily involved in adoptions. Came to conclusion that there's a nisa yichud. If you adopt a boy, then the adoptive mother, right, has to worry about nisa yichud and can't be left alone with the boy. Likewise, if it's a girl, the father can't be left alone. It kind of complicates adoption. So my Shreel wrote a tshuva to them, that's been published. Another guy, they have it in here too. That's no such concern. That so yichud is not a technical thing; it's a psychological thing, and therefore it's not shy to say by normal healthy people, if you adopt an infant and grows up as your child, there will be an isa yichud. That there was any kind of sexual connotation to a mother and a son being left together. What was his raya? Was a raya from a Tosfos. Tosfos Yevamah says that an adopted children, right, Yishuv Marasayin can't marry. A girl is brought up as a sister. Comes time for marriage, the unrelated, quote, brother, they have no genetic relationships, an adoptive girl, right, wants to marry her. He grew up with the girl, he likes her. So Taisa says, Mishum Marasayin, you can't do it. Nothing wrong with Api Halacha, but people won't know. So my Shreel asked, why do people won't know? Every time the mother went out shopping, the father had to call in a babysitter, the father had to leave the house. It would have been obvious that she's an adopted child. There's no marasai in it. The answer is that he conducted himself with this girl as a daughter. That's why there's a suffix. People will think that she's a real daughter. It's a haraya that there is no inyun of yichud. That's, you see, this classic. The classic guy is Mefeirush from a Tosfos. No one else discusses it. But it can't be otherwise. If Tosfos says there's a marasayin shaila, it can only be if there was no distinction in however the father conducted himself with this girl other than how a father conducts himself with a girl. So the girl sat on his lap, and the girl, when she cried, he took her into bed, etc., etc. Look at the Yodei Risa Meches. Similar Shaila that we have now. We had, Baruch Hashem, we haven't had it for a long time. But during the 10 years after the Holocaust, up until the middle 50s, this Shaila came up very often. And based upon the Shulchan Aruch, end of Risa Meches. Take a look. Okay, that's on page 4. This is a remark. Yisrael mumor she'osa tshuva ein tzorach l'tfol. Rak mit rabbonim. Now this alone gives you pause, right? Remember we discussed the Chasam Sofer and Hilchos Tefillin and the Mishneh in Nida, that you can renounce your Judaism. You reverse gelus. You can undo Kedushas Yisrael. So here you have Yisrael Muma. Obviously, the Gemara can't be talking about a total reversal of Judaism. Chasam Sofer knew about this Gemara also. Right? It means a Muma, but he did not do everything that would make him mechutz l'machne, but he's a mumer she'osa tshuva. So you would think he needs a new gerus, at least midrabbonim. Ein tzorach l'tfol rak midrabbonim. Yes, he needs. Ein tzorach l'tfol rak midrabbonim yesh l'tfol l'kabel olav dir b'chaverus b'fnei gimu. No, he doesn't need, he needs. Go through a gerus process. What part of gerus? Immediately he did already. He tefillah, right? And b'fnei gimul. And that's how we conduct ourselves. That's how la'aloche. But when do you have such a case? So we had many cases after the Holocaust. That, look at page 16. Jesus. You don't know what they did to us. Okay, you have it. The Kabbalah is das anot service. Mi ones miso. Im yesh la tzich et tvila. Vi gilu o saros. Vi din ha tshuva shalom. It's important to see such a tshuva and say, you shouldn't forget. These people are still around. Those who did it to us. They call themselves different names now. Some call themselves Muslims. Others call themselves Americans, French certainly, Germans of course. Okay. The very issue we have to say is that Nechbos b'shus hagzeros b'beis akum. They were hiding out in a goyish house, and that was common. After a few months, his family got a bright idea. They could be zocha olam haba by forcing them to convert. And had a weapon which was absolutely irresistible. Namely, if not, we turn you over to the Nazis. Ella be'atzmo zorak aleihem mayim. The family, he appointed himself a priest. He sprinkled water on them. Right? Volichin lebeis atiflo. He took them into church. It's a little story during the Inquisition of this fellow who converted, and Friday. They don't, it used to be in America too, Reform Catholics don't eat meat on Friday, and only fish. But only in my days, yet the Pope issued an edict that to be makel on that halacha. Right. So they tell the story of the Inquisition coming into a house, and it's Friday night, by them it's still Friday, and there's a chicken on a table, and they're eating chicken. This is supposed to be a frum convert. As soon as they saw the guy walking into the house, he quickly grabbed a glass of water. He said, once a chicken, now a fish. Once a chicken, now a fish. Okay. B'teke b'achar Yeshuas Hashem Yisborach Shavu L'das Yisrael. Right? V'hen shomri das b'chol inyirnim v'nishal em tzricho giluach shar tefillah. Clear sar or tefillah. Right? Paskin we don't need. Why? That's not a mumah. Even though there's a chiv, limsor and afsho, right? Especially that, which maybe could be called shasak zera also, there, nevertheless, the oiver on the isur of Kiddush Hashem, but not on the isur of Avodah Zarah. The Zarah, the oiver of the owners. Right? Not my kayim, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. But that's not the same. And therefore, they don't need. Nevertheless, look at the end, right? Kiyun shekal pogad ba'onis, right? Potman umistama gam b'dinei shemayim poter. Af she mistaba vaday sheik b'dinei shemayim onish gam al zeh meyachar shal zeh ne'amar lav, meaning on the not mikadishem shemayim. Avlo yi b'zeh achomer. The onish chil Hashem, and came more lazer tshuva. And chil Hashem, there is no tshuva. Here, the whole thing with bonus, you have to say tshuva will help. He says, you have no eyes for this. This is plain. Choose the expression. This is plain das Torah. The das that comes from someone who studied Torah, it must make good sense to say that vaday might need tshuva, and tshuva will help. You can't equate this with someone who's mechal shem shemayim bemezid. Where the Gemara says there's no tshuva on chilul Hashem. Teiror lekadesh Hashem isbar b'mah she'efshu b'anagosu uchadoma. Here, let it be now be b'kadesh Hashem shemayim by her conduct. Vim isho b'rihi, nevertheless, tov she'tisane b'chol shono b'yom she'eskimo im notzeres, right, im zocheres hi osayom, right, b'mlav tikva yom acher. That one day, the day when she agreed to go to church, or we let water sprinkle on her, and that day she should fast. If she's well, vayelodos, shemtanos, einzichin l'sanos, avol yiru l'snaig b'derech hatoru l'kadesh shem shemayim, zeh yeh kaparosam Hashem yisborach harotze b'tshuva umar b'lisloach. These are the kind of tshuvas that had to be written. That's what they did to us. Right? You have to remember. This is not a past history. The historical stress on Am Yisrael still exists today. No doubt about it. You get letters today from Yad Lachim of how many Jewish girls and little boys already who are the progeny Jewish girls who married Arabs, converted to the Muslim faith, live in Arab villages as second-class citizens, persecuted, despite the fact that they left their homes, etc. And this organization manages to steal out every now and then a few kids, a few people, a few women to get them out of captivity and bring them back to Das Yisrael. Okay, with Purim coming up, turn to page 66. don't know if you people own this, but they sold it at this farm sale. But there's a very nice sefer, Monos Halevi, written by the author of Lechol Dodi, Shlomo Alkevitz. Very nice sefer in the sense of Bamash posik by posik, he recreates the story of Purim, using whatever midrashim available, whether Megillas Esther, that's apocryphal, whatever it is, and puts together the full story with its halachic consequences. Here, pick up on the first column. Possibly in Megillas Esther says, "V'rabim meyamei ha'oretz misyahadim." Tosfos quotes that pasuk in Yevamos. How is that pasuk? Heinemis yomim amarati marid al adovach hazeh v'yan ha-mesyadim v'yanir ha-hoyu mizera ha-molek, as you'll show. Asher b'pnei talbus, whatever, etc. v'doso m'kvoa, ken she'omur ki nofo pachad yudim aleyem, ma ki nofo pachad mo'odcha aleyem, v'yisi mispale mo'odcha ha-yehudi, it's the time of Chagi, Zchariu, Malachi, hei'choyim mekalbim gerim ke'ilu. Ubehedi Amrinan, a Mekabum Gerin lost Lovo, Bian Yiro, Kainem is Gairin Biavo, Elam Yiro. Im Shieshi Tam Nifla Adere Hapnimi, Kasafti Sefer Bris Halevi. Right? As there, I saw it about Gil Neshome, something that's not easy to explain. Bil, Yota Bil, I got his Pesach, that's a Nigla Vanisto. Right? Uma gambi yosam es gairim halolu mizera amolik, kmo shoho yoha neogim, ei befer shombo mechilte, rablezer nishba kodesh boruch hu bikisi hakobot, right? Sheim yovo echa biyukol umos es gair shei kabel osu Yisrael, right? Ubi beso shol amolik lo yikabel osu. In quotes the posik, in Shmuel, Oma dobel anar hamagli, ei meza ato, vyoma benish ger amoliki amochi, and this kadova bosu show machinema shimyovo echa we call umus the mushrabino shalom shimyovo echa we call umus holim shi kablo so umivi umibeso shalamolik boy kablo so but yom reilo domecha roshecha domcha roshecha vakach nemer midor dor nuchama hashem bamolik midor dor vimkein heichoyim ekabno osim bezman shenosan rishus lachalosim. They dressed Jewish. They put on a gartel, meaning they began to look like Jews. They never went to a gerus. Doesn't say that they became halachic Jews. It just says misyahadim, meaning they disguised themselves like Jews in order to escape the wrath of the Jews. Maran Asma Yehudim, im b'malbushim, im b'menhogam, right? That's teres number one. Then he gives teres number two, right? But after I looked further, it was clear to me that Mesyade means they became Jewish. How could they become Jewish? Hini Yosef Laufli Amad Avrein, he adds another kashit before he answers the kashit. It says, Mohan Gitin Bimnei Bonov Shel Homon Lomdu Torah Bivnei Barak. And not Lomdu Torah B'Yerushalayim, we understand. Those are the two accounts. Right. So that's okay. Now we can understand they're still around. But it says, no, Lomdu Torah B'Bnei Barak. Al Kein Yeshlomar, Shenizgayru, Daminim B'Gemara, Amar Arame, Eimosen Zivri Torah L'Kusi. Shenemar, Magid Bor Yaakov, Chuk B'Shpotov L'Yisrael. You can't study Torah with a goy. Therefore, if it says they study Torah Bnei Barak, they had to be misguided. And they believe one of Shel Homer. So how do you explain that? It gives a shot to the Megillah. Right. And basically, the pshat is as follows. As far as Bnei Bono of Shel Homer, that's easy. Okay? Why is it easy? Descendants, when it comes to Yichus, we have patrilineal descent. In other words, the Shevet, woman, baby, Uda, marry, patrilineal. When it comes to Yadus, it's matrilineal descent. Right? When it comes to Goyim, we don't have that distinction. By Goyim, there, the reform concluded, all Goyim is always patrilineal descent. If it's patrilineal descent, all it means is that the daughters of Haman married people of another tribe. They're all people of another tribe, then all patrilineal descent, they're not Bnei Amolek, therefore there's no Shaila. We're not Mekabel Gerim from Amolek, but if they were married into a Mitzri, married into a Surya, married into another tribe, then they no longer have the Shem Amalek attached to them. Therefore, it's okay. Then he comes with a last chiddush. Okay. Says. Hine, kol hamumosim hoyu mizer amolik, v'amizgayim hoyu miyeser ha'amim. That's his last teres on the original kashe. Rabba meyishol, Rabba meyoretz misyadim, of course. Why? Everybody in Shushan, everybody in the 107 Medinos were all Bnei Amolik. Of course not. Especially he says, Bor Sancheirab Ubilbilis Olam. Of course not. Nonsense. Therefore, what it means to say is, those who were from other tribes, Mishyadim, perfectly fine. You didn't want to accept them there. Well, as always, the way out, the Bezin Shalajotos were working overtime, and they accept them for Gelus, right? Social reasons, whatever it is. Therefore, it was a good Gelus. All the Mumosim, he says, those who were being killed, were all from Bnei Amalek. They didn't want to be Mizgaya. It would make no difference. If they came, we rejected them. Besides, we have the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, and therefore, at Purim time, the killing was part of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. That's how Shom Akved Zorim Shat in the Megillah. All Kol Hamumosim, all that they killed, you know, those were the Amalekim that were mixed up in the population. I gave you a little piece here from the Daf Hayomi and Gittin on the bottom. I don't want to call your attention, just a quote from the Gaon of Vilna. The whole thing is interesting reading, but it duplicates a lot from the Shlomo Alkibetz. But then he has an interesting story. Right? Sipur Germani le Nachlas Hashem. Sipur means addendum. Add Germany to Nachlas Hashem. He said, Hagmor omeres ki Yaakov Avinu bikish miboru sheirasein es malchus Germania shel Edom. That's what the Lashon Bechilut is, Malchus Germania. Nobody paid attention to him, so we had World War I and World War II. Germania is our German. Refused to go out and greet him. Why? Because to go out and greet him, you'd have to make a broche on seeing a melech, right? And there's a suffix in his mind where he's melech hamolik. He therefore didn't want to make a broche. So he refused to go out and meet, as would have been proper protocol. Kedei shu levor bebichas hamlochim, the Rav Zatzal, one night at his house, before Purim, used to come in on a Tuesday night, usually. That's when his mother, Zichron Luoche, would make potato latkes every Tuesday night. Interesting story on Tuesday night, but that's not for now. So the Rav said, not like he says here, Mishum Sofik. He says, he quoted this, sorry, Sofik. It's not a Sofik. Is of any believe it. Not a suffix of any consequence, he says. He knew the story of Rav Sonnenfeld. He says it doesn't go whether you identify Germany as a descendant of Amalek. He says any nation who has as a credo, has as a commitment to destroy Am Yisrael, is halachically Amalek. And the same halacha of Mocho Timcha Zech Amalek applies to them. Amalek is a type species, not a genetic line of Amalek. But whoever assumes, right, the behavior pattern of Amalek is Amalek in Halacha, and the same Halachos apply as a mitzvah to kill him when you see him, etc., etc. And the Rav didn't say this der drush. He said that la Halacha. Nowadays, so it gives you a headset to go on killing people all over the world. Everybody wants to kill us. Why do we do such a terrible thing to them? Took away some of the Nobel Prizes or something. What?
There's a mitzvah
of
Tzibur.
I'm sorry? Okay. Now I want to go back on the last point to make. Two children that I want to discuss yet in the few minutes that we have. One on page 13. I told you last time we had to finish on adoption. Not an uncommon shaila, as well as it. I'll give you a case we had. We had the shver, the Bronx family court. try to determine whether a girl who was pregnant, she was in, there was a facility here in New York which closed recently, Weiss home for wayward girls. That was Stephen Weiss's wife ran the home. And their little girls who got into trouble would spend their pregnancy away from home, hiding out there until they gave birth, and then they would send them off for adoption. Shaila here was that the girl that was born to one of these girls, a little girl, then fell in love with a Kohen. And the Shaila was she pregnant from a Jewish boyfriend or from a Goyisha boyfriend? If from a Goyisha boyfriend, she's also Lakuna. It's a pogrom. Probably we'll make a kedushin between a Kohen and someone who's Jewish. Her mother was Jewish, no shayla on her Judaism, but she's a pguma because the father was non-Jewish. She had to determine whether the father was Jewish or not. Very, very rigid secrecy laws. Even sealed, right? Almost impossible to get any information about an adopted child. Nowadays, because of the widespread use of sperm banks, this nonsense of, I want to know my biological father, the big battles going on in all state legislatures, whether you should open up the files and let people know who their father was. I remember when this issue first was raised about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I was at Columbia on a shayla, and the head of the infertility clinic there was showing me around and introduced me to someone who was a resident there at Columbia, a doctor, but in his last years of residency, right? And we got to discuss this thing about opening up the files so identify who the biological father is. She says to me, you should know, if they ever do such a thing, one morning I'm going to wake up and I open my door, there'll be 51 children yelling, Daddy. I'm father to biological father of 51 children. Okay. Interesting, because it's one person in this area. Right, and they have these clinics, psychological support groups there where people meet each other there, and the shaila of whether a boy and girl fathered by the same fellow would meet increases in likelihood. Still go bus over, right? But it's a real nice shaila where the incidence of genetic consanguinity might. It will come in such cases. Anyway, I undertook to try to find out. This was a shidduch, involved someone in my shul. The boy was a kohen in my shul, and he wanted to marry this girl, and had to determine whether the girl was father was non-Jewish. They wouldn't open up the files. I met with the judge twice in the Bronx Family Court. All these things are in a special unit called the family court. They're very, very rigid, very protective, etc. Anyway, he finally agreed to let me read a social worker's report. Right? Of course, they got all names, right? And no reference to religion either. Wouldn't allow it. But in the report, it said that her boyfriend came to visit her regularly. And before the Jewish holidays, he brought her a Jewish prayer book, which they use specially on holidays. On that basis, the shver was matir. There's enough evidence that Masama, the husband, the boyfriend, was a Jewish boyfriend, and therefore was the Okay, in other words, he brought a machzorim before a yom tov. Gives you an idea also, it's a frum girl, a frum boy. What shouldn't happen, happened. Okay. Here you have this shayla, where the adoption agency certifies that the child is of Jewish origin. Okay. Look at this on page 13. Vamo hasasorim al hayeled shelakhu shu shel Yehudim meisho sheol de labayla beinam shomri Torah er dino. Here you have a couple gave up a child for adoption. And the approach he takes is there is no basis for such nemonus. Why? They're interested in getting adoption for a child. That's the job of the agency, to find adoptive parents. And if they're not personally religious, they aren't kosher eidus, then they're certifying that the child is of Jewish origin. Has no halachic weight, and therefore has to be disregarded. Look at the top of the page. Kivan Shemisha Omur Lahem, one who told them that the child is Jewish, Einam Shomri Torah, Einam Nemonim. We have this, the other side also. We have where another child, I'm talking to Bremer, Shaloch Alamaisa, these all shaylas that we live through, where a Kohen falls in love with a Gieres. Right? And this is the reason, these are older people, and they're both married before, they finally found each other, and he wants to marry her. Yeah. They're not religious people, but there's a problem that the rabbi of the parents, grandparents, as the parents of these people, Orthodox Rabbi, he won't make see the Kedushin. He's not going to marry a Kohen to a Gieres. The Shaila is how you can, and this, by the way, is I've heard this said by others, oh, Yoshfer had a way to be Matir, a Kohen, to marry a Gieres. Indeed, we have a number of cases. I personally was involved, certainly, in 5, 6, 7 cases over the years, where we were Matir, a Kohen, to marry a Gieres. How? By showing that he was not a Kohen. These are irreligious people. The father was never a Kohen, meaning never behaved like a Kohen, never came to shul, never got an aliyah, never duchen. The father died. We sent him to the cemetery, bring back a picture of the gravestone. Nothing on the gravestone indicates HaKohen. There's no hands on the gravestone as he did there. They said, how do you know you're a Kohen? Has an aunt who told him some years back, is the aunt a religious woman? No, it's not a religious woman. The aunt told him that he's from a Kohen family. Yisrael always paskin, disregarded, he's not a Kohen, period. There's no such thing as being able to declare yourself a Kohen based upon the testimony of someone who's not a Shema Torah Mitzvahs. There's a lot of Eidus, there's no Eidus whatsoever. Here you have it in this way. We don't accept Eidus to declare that he's Jewish. We won't accept Eidus to declare someone's a Kohen also.
Does he not have it? Does he have the
That's those, any case you've heard, and I've heard of so many people. The Israelis had ways to be Matir a Kohen. There's one only way he's Matir a Kohen, by showing that he's not a Kohen. And if the only evidence is a Kohen, you find no record, nothing. There's no old uncle, there's no one who can give proof that there's a Kohen. I personally had a case after my Israel passed away, where the family was buried in Hungary there, and we sent them back to take a picture of the gravestone, and the gravestone had on it two hands there, indicating that the Takir, his Zayda was a Kohen, right? And that we could declare he's a Kohen, and therefore we couldn't do anything for him. But the idea that Yichus Mishpoche can be established just because someone says so.
How could you establish that if you don't have the Besakvaris?
Yeah?
How could you establish the Nemodus based on seeing the hands of
Besakvaris? That's it. That's enough evidence that he is a Kohen. It's not enough evidence that he's not a Kohen. He's not a Kohen. He's not a Kohen because no one said he's a Kohen. Not having, as you know, the Israelis were the ones who invented wireless telepathy. Wireless transmission was invented not by Marconi in Italy. Why? Because they dug in Eretz Yisrael, all these archaeologists, they couldn't find any wires. So somehow they had wireless. You don't prove that things that way. Okay.
Is this taken into account also that we don't have Kohanim?
I'm sorry?
Is this also taken into account that Kohanim, that in any way Kohanim today, I believe Kohanim Hezaka,
Kohanim today are Kohanim Hezaka. Wasn't he Kohanim Hezaka? The father Duchen, he had an aliyah, called up Kohen, that's right. That's the best proof we have. That is the proof. Now, thus is we have the same thing we had in Gevus. A fella comes up, right, and he says he has Yotzeit. he wants to daven for the Omer, and he tells you a story. My father was a ger, he married a non-Jewish woman in Germany. Right? I went to a Gelus, so the whole life history of Gelus. Right? Well, I believe him. That's what he says, you believe him. He wants to marry somebody, as you said, he needs to bring two angels. All our kind of Kohanim Hazokim. That's if you look in Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, the Pesach Tshuva brings down the Tshuva, that a Kohen Bizman HaZeh can't keep the Pidyon money. Then he must give it back. Why? Because we do pidyon sofik yisur l'chumra. When it comes to keeping the money, that's sofik mamona, right? Sofik zela. If you're not a kohen, you're a gazlan. Therefore, give back the money. Kohen chazoka, just kohen chazoka, enach nami. I have a son-in-law, Shapsa Rappaport, who claims he's a real kohen. He's the 10th Ben Biben after the Shach. Right. 10th Ben HaChaben, there's a real coin. So he wants to eat challah chutzal. Yeah. So a few times he's been in America, he insists he wants to eat the challah chutzal. Don't let him, but he's convinced he can do so. All right. We have a few more things, but that's about all that we should cover today. Mir Hashem. Oh, thanks to government.